You're listening to The Green Thumbs Up, brought to you by Miniquip Hire, WA's leading machinery hire company, supporting the Landscape Industries Association, WA.
G'day landscapers and welcome to another edition of Green Thumbs Up, the landscaping podcast for landscapers by landscapers, brought to you by our good friends from Miniquip, Bailey's Fertilisers and Domus Nursery. My name's Darren Senor and joining me on the hosting task force is Kieran Kelly from Open Gardens WA. Kizza, how are you, mate?
Very good, Darren. Thank you once again for inviting me in.
Mate, you're open invitation. You don't need to keep me. That. You just rock up and we're glad to have you. Hey, mate, we've got an unusual fella here tonight.
Well, I can't recognise him because he's got a different hat on now.
Oh, he's got more hats than he's got underpants, mate. Matthew Lunn, how are you, Matty?
G'day, Jesse. G'day, Kerry. Great to see you, boys, and congratulations on the podcast. It's going great.
Yeah, we're up to, what do we say we're up to, Benno? 55 episodes? 54. So we're chugging along nicely, so I keep pumping them out. Now, Matthew, I think we'll attack the elephant in the room. You're the former, or soon-to-be former, EO of Liawa, so you're moving on to greener pastures?
Yeah, look, it's been a bit of a ride the last month, and certainly during the Perth Garden Festival when I sort of became aware that it was likely I would be on the move. And as you know, it's almost our anniversary of 4 years we've been running Liawa under this new management, as everyone keeps telling me, and the great team behind us. So it's been an emotional ride, to be honest. And when I let the cat out the bag, it was like I died almost, you know, quite seriously. People were, you know, they didn't know what to say and all those things. But I guess in life is a journey. And one day all of you standing in this room today will move on to other things. And it's just the way it is. And particularly in executive officer roles, you tend to sort of be in those positions for 5, 6, 7 years. And then something always comes along and that's it just came along.
So the new role, Matt, you can let the cat out of the bag now.
Yeah, so
most people know, but
I'm moving across to Turf Australia as their national CEO, which is obviously a step up from my existing roles with the nursery. And
is that because the grass is greener on the other side of the fence?
It could be, Kieran. It could be.
Some sound effects, man. The boom tish.
So, I suppose in my career, I've always tried to better myself. I always have. It's just part of my makeup. And I just want to achieve the best I can, and this has given me the right opportunity. So, yes, I'll be looking after the turf growers right across Australia and the various states, associations, and working with them. But I still hope to have some interaction with the landscape group, and whether you'll still allow me to come to meetings and a few other things, I'll pop my head around the door, certainly, because there is still that linkage between, obviously, the landscape and the turf.
And is there are the Eastern States boys going, who's this new fella from the West? We've got the he's riding in on the new horse and he's going to sort us out?
Yeah, look, it's I guess national organisations tend to be based over in the East. Mm. Of course, since COVID, we've moved away from actual offices. So as we were speaking earlier, Darren, you know, that opportunity is now there to actually be in a remote place but still be able to actively engage with members right across Australia. So I'll stay in my home at Gidgeganup. Most people thought I was going to suddenly move to Sydney. I'm certainly not going to do that. But I will have to move quite a bit across the states, particularly Queensland, which is one of the biggest growing turf markets out there, followed by Queensland, Victoria, and believe it or not, WA has a very strong turf growing group as well.
What sort of membership would the Australian turf growers have?
I think I've got some work to do. Look, it's not like the landscape industry where there's a lot of landscapers. As you can imagine, a turf farm produces perhaps a lot of hectares of turf, so you're not going to end up with 50, 60 members in WA. I think there's only about 13 or 14. So there's over 100 members nationally, but there's actually 220 levy payers, as it's known, right across Australia. So it's certainly not to the velocity of say, the landscape industry, but you've got to remember it's slightly a different model.
And you're talking about levies. So what sort of levies do they raise in the turf industry? And where does that funds go
The industry? Look, Darrenson, that's a really good question because it's probably why, in many ways, I've had to make the move because we don't have that levy linked to the Landscape Association. So the nursery industry have what's known as the pot levy. So there's money that is raised and goes to Hort Innovations Australia.
I remember when that came in.
Yeah.
I was working in the nursery industry when I came in. It was going to be the end
into the industry.
So that money which is generated then goes towards R&D, communications, marketing. And similarly with turf, the sales of turf produces this levy, and which Hort Innovations Australia manage again. And through that levy, actually, it funds part of my role. And this, again, is why I'm very keen to get involved, because I want to understand more about that levy. And hopefully, staying in touch with you, we can perhaps, see there's a perhaps. Give some guidance back into Liawa about how you guys can actually, you know, increase your income. Because at the moment, the sad fact is you just can't pay a full-time CEO or EO, which was always our dream. But at the moment, we just don't have that funding. The advert, which is now available on Seek, is for 3 days a week. Now, if I think back 4 years ago, it was 1 day a week. So we've grown the association really well in that area. And if there's one thing I think I've achieved, or we have achieved, let's get that right, what we've achieved is we've grown the association by 25 to 30% each year, without a doubt, with membership, sponsorship. Even tonight, as I came in, just sitting out there waiting to come in here tonight, just thinking back to, you know, the days at Landscapes WA and where we started there. Now you're actually in a proper studio. You've got all the right gear. It shows we've grown the association. That's what I'm proudest of, is that we've grown the association. So the next stage for you is to go and find that bigger income stream. Now, whether that's done through an event, whether that's done, you're not going to achieve it by a big sponsorship deal. You need to link yourself either to the Perth Garden Festival, something that will bring you some income, which will then drive this role as a more of a full-time role. And as I've said to many people, like Tim Davies a couple of days ago, if I'd been full-time, God, we could have done some damage out there in the industry. Because if you think I'm only doing that day and a little bit, yep, and what we've achieved doing that, just imagine if someone had been full-time.
Well, absolutely. Over the last sort of 4 years, like Matt, from my perspective, you've certainly had a massive impact on the association. I know everyone that's in the association really appreciates what you did. And you're definitely the driving force. I know there's a lot of us, you know, people like Nick Russell, who also did a hell of a lot to get us back up off the canvas when we were battling. So we certainly appreciate it, and you're going to be a massive loss to our association. What did you really enjoy about the your time at Liawa? Was it the camaraderie with people such as myself?
In a nutshell, people. People is what I enjoy most of all. The job is the job, and I love the job. And I've got to say, I never got it up in the morning and didn't want to get up, whether it was Liawa or NGIWO. It was 5:30 in the morning, whatever it needed to be. It was the people I met, the Bens of this world, yourselves, this gentleman across from me. But it was more than that. It was bringing people into the fold who really needed to belong to a community. And I know Open Gardens does that very well. Liawa did that too. You know, you had 38, 40 members when we started this journey. You've got nearly 100. You're not quite there. The dream was always 100. You should be at 150 easily. It's just spreading the word and getting more and more people involved. Just some of the guests I know you interviewed tonight, just walking out the door, you've only got to speak to them and say you should get involved, and they're inspired suddenly. So I think you've got a great product here, and that's what an association is really all about. It's about building the product. But it was the people overall that I've enjoyed most of all meeting.
Definitely. In fact, we have some great members of the association and the wider landscape industry. It's all the events we held, always great nights and great camaraderie. So the person who's coming will eventually come into the EO role. So obviously got big shoes to fill. Do you have any thoughts about what sort of person we need to be looking at for this role? Do we necessarily need somebody with a horticultural or landscaping background?
Again, I'd have to come back to, you need someone who can drive something, you know, is a people person, got very strong communication skills. You need that. I don't think they necessarily need to know one end of a plant or how to build a wall, but ultimately you just need someone who can lead. And from that leadership, I think with the strong board you've built, Darren, you've got nearly 10 on that board who cover commercial, residential and your allied group. You've got this great little group here with a podcast. You can fill that person in on what goes on in the industry. The problem will most likely come is where they need to engage with ministers and advocacy. So we're talking about changes in water licenses. And if that person doesn't have some sort of an understanding and isn't able to sort of understand the policies around why there are changes in water licenses and the way the water court works, I think that person could become unstuck. But I think you're going to have to stand up, unfortunately, Darren. You'll go, and you'll be able to do that.
We've got some excellent, very strong, experienced people in the board and around the industry that can certainly, I would hope, would put their hands up to support a new EO. So.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, don't be fooled that an EO, the EO wears a lot of hats, as this gentleman will tell you, as presidents, you all know, you wear lots of hats. But ultimately, it's that person who does quite a bit of administration. So it's someone who's quite organised as well. Good on their time management. Good on the phone. Good at engaging.
That counts me out.
I think
I'm instantly scratched off the list.
I think Ben's actually starting to think he might fit into.
Yeah, he's having a sit back. There,
he's sitting back. Yeah,
I can do that.
So Matt, how important is it that that the association actually engage with government agencies? Do you think?
No, it's critical, isn't it?
Critical.
I mean. And I learned, particularly, and it was funny, in the last 3 to 4 months, I've had more engagement with ministers than I have in the last 4 years with the association, to the point where a minister actually phoned me directly. And you think, wow, now we're starting to get in there. And it all revolves around, for us as this association, is government recognition. So if you really do want to take this association forward, if you do want to be certified or practicing landscapers, then the government have to be behind you. So my dream was always to keep on prodding, and little bit by little bit, I was told 10 years it might take us to become actually recognised as a trade. But you've got to keep on prodding and be seen. You've got to be heard. Mm-hmm. And they then, in that way, by doing that, they then come back to you and say, well, we've got a problem. How can you help us? Once they say that, you're in the door. Well, you know, when I first met the Minister for Water and said Liawa, it was like, who are you? You know?
Yeah.
And they looked at me too and said, how many members? All those things you've got to build. But certainly working with governments is critical for the development of the whole industry.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it's recognising us as a trade. And certainly as a horticulturalist, trained horticulturalist, you think, you know, well, I know we are a trade.
Yeah.
But it's getting that out to the general public so that you're just not recognised as a raker and a sweeper, so to speak.
And look, I honk on about this quite a bit. The population of Perth is going to go to around about 3.5 to 4 million over the next 20, 25 years. That's a lot of gardens are going to go in. That's a lot of tradespeople running around people's backyards. You know, people expect quality. People expect quality, and actually people are prepared to pay for it. We've seen that since the pandemic, that people invested more into their own property and renovations. The landscape industry is at a great moment in their sort of journey as well. So I think the opportunity to actually show that Liawa members are the people you engage with, they're the professionals, they have the contracts, they have the insurance, I think that is the way that this industry, and certainly I hope Darren will drive that with the new EO.
No pressure. Thanks, Matt.
That's okay.
So, in your new role, you're looking at doing more public speaking in front of bigger audience, you think? Is it likely to be that sort of role?
Well, as you know, I've always been involved in the media, and certainly with the Hort Media Association, and always enjoyed speaking. It's funny, I actually get very nervous getting up and speaking, but I learned very quickly what I needed to do was go and do some training in that. So I actually got involved. Can't think of
Toastmasters.
Toastmasters. Thank
was it
you.
Toastmasters?
Yeah, I got involved in Toastmasters, and that was really interesting experience.
That was a Hail Mary, wasn't it? That was like a 3-pointer from outside.
Yeah,
right?
I haven't been there myself, but
more surprised than Kizer that he got that right.
It's the only public speaking forum that I know.
Toastmasters of Mundaring. And, I spent a couple of years up there, did some competitions and quickly learnt about planning, preparing, off-the-cuff speaking. So I've always enjoyed speaking, as you know, the radio program in Curtin for 16 years. So, yes, I will be doing – as one of the roles is you become the face of that industry. You're the face of Open Gardens. You at the moment are the face of the landscape. I was the face of the landscape, the nurse. You become this face, so you do have to get up in front of people. And I think probably the disappointment for a lot of the members, and this isn't bragging, is that you become that sort of figurehead that people sort of revere to and go, yep, I'm going to go with this person. I think that was the disappointment with a lot of your members, that they were on this journey with not only me, but us, all of us as a whole, and suddenly this person's pulled out under the carpet and gone. Who's going to lead? And so I think the other answer to your question about who should we get in is someone who can lead. Yep. Yeah, but there'll be a lot of public speaking and certainly a lot of conferences too.
Excellent.
What are the issues that are facing the turf industry? I know you haven't been your teeth into it yet, but you've probably got a bit of background.
Very similar to the nursery industry, automation. So you've got an industry that obviously is very driven mechanically, mowing, preparing, harvesting. So it's that automation to reduce the labour costs, because labour is a big issue out in the turf industry. Also, you've got climate change. So people, and I mean, as you know, Darren, and you know, water-wise gardens is rip up your verge, there's no lawns. So every garden should have native plants. Well, is that really feasible long term? I don't know yet. I don't know the answer to these questions. When we talk about water-wise gardens here in this state, we don't often refer to turf. We might talk about dichondra or a lawn alternative like creeping thyme or something like that, but we don't go, well, there is this turf that is drought tolerant. Whereas in the other states, places like New South Wales, they've got problems with flooding. So a lot of turf's underwater. Yeah. In Queensland, I think it's too hot over there. So there's all these different scenarios that I'm going to experience, and that's what I'm looking forward to as well.
And your bees and your cows up in the hills. What's going to happen to these when you're going around mowing people?
I'll tell you what, Darren, one of the things that I've got to do is put a proper irrigation system at my property. And I've got a good Hunter Wi-Fi system.
Yeah.
I love my Wi-Fi, you know, on your phone and setting it off wherever you are in the world. But I'm going to have to really get my retic up and sort it, because I'll be away for a week at a time sometimes. And I know hand watering, you just can't keep getting away with. But I'm pleased that a lot of my plants are native plants, and they survive. A lot of my grevilleas are doing great guns up at Gidgee, and I don't give them any water at all. So it's great to see those plants survive, but I know I'm going to have one or two. I need to give them that extra water.
And the board members for the lawn industry?
For the Turf Association.
Turf Australia.
So there's national.
National.
There's a national board.
Yep.
Then here in this state, there's a state committee type board with people like Eva Rickey. But at a national board, they all come together.
So each state is represented on the national board?
Not every state. I don't think every state is. In fact, Tasmania has a very small turf growing sort of farmers out there. I think there's only one. So it tends to be Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, very prominent, very similar to the nursery industry at national level, and then West Australia, but if not, just slide in there. And number four and I think fifth is South Australia.
Right.
So yes, bees and that. I will
cows.
Yeah. But you know, one of the other things I haven't talked about at all is why I left, and the reason I left too. I was doing the two jobs, but I also wanted to
three lifestyle. Wasn't it?
Three. Yeah. That was open gardens too at one point. It's lifestyle, and I think we all get very caught up in the work we do. And I'm at 54, so I reckon I'm probably might be one of the older ones in the room. Oh, I think you come to a point in your life.
I can trump you there, mate.
I was going to say kids is old and everybody.
I think it is so. Not like this young man across the desk, Benno.
Strapping young man.
But you get to a point in your life where you just go. And I know, I don't know how you're doing it, young man. You know, you're doing your business, but then you're doing 6PR. You know, it's the family time is critical. And I think I can honestly say that over the last 4 to 6 years with the nursery and Liara, I've let a few things slip, particularly family time, missing a few of my kids' things at schools, you know, swimming carnivals. Dad, I'm in the final. Oh, no, I've got to meet. Do you know what I mean? That sort of stuff.
Yeah, I hear.
And I think there's come a point too where this job will still put a lot of, you know, my time management's really going to be at max, but I will have that little bit more time at home, I'm hoping, just to spend with the bees and the cows.
Lovely. And any other hobbies you're thinking you might take up?
I'll tell you, look, I don't need a craft, no. I'll tell you two things I have done in the last 12 months, apart, you know, because obviously we're very busy with both associations, was I've always been a great fan of the Dockers, and I was a member years ago, so I took back up my membership and had a thoroughly great time watching the boys play. But you know what? It was sitting around people I didn't even know, and you make friends. So I've enjoyed going to watch the Dockers. We didn't quite get past that early finals. We're probably a bit too young and naive. They've brought in a couple of new players. So I'll continue that, and I'll be down at Optus, which is one of the best stadiums in the world without a doubt, and one of the great landscapes around the stadium. And the second thing I've done a lot of recently is a lot of walking. So I'm doing sections of the Bibbulmun track, and I've just completed the section from Denmark back to Albany. Well worth doing. And I think it's that no phones, no computer, because you can imagine my phone goes off quite a bit. Matt, can you do this? Can you? And to walk that stretch from Denmark to Albany is, from a botanical point of view, is fascinating. To see these plants just growing in the side of a rock or banksias, literally, there's no pruning, there's no fertilizer, it's wind, it's rain. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So thoroughly enjoyed that. A few tiger snakes on the way too. Nice. But certainly that run is stunning. And the Walpole bit to Denmark isn't bad either. Tough, really, really tough. One of the toughest sections of, it's 1,000 kilometres from Kalamunda. One bloke we heard on the track did it in, it was a world record. He actually did it in, I think, 12 days.
He was running it.
He was running it, literally, and sleeping for 4 hours. But you meet a lot of different people out on the track who've got different parts happening in their life, but they've got nothing to do with Liawa or nursery or horticulture. Yep. And I think that is so important sometimes in life, to just pull yourself away from the normal things in life. But if you get that opportunity, do try and go down to the wind farm towards Albany. Go down to the wind farm at Albany, and you can walk down. You've got to your left and the right. You've got Bald Head at one end, and then you're looking back up, and it is stunning, the Goshen, and you know, you see the whales, and it just brings you back to life. So that's something I've tried to sort of connect back with my life, I think, to be honest.
Lovely.
Matt,
shall I get the Kleenex?
Yeah. Get the backpack. You might need the Denko rub after all that. The Perth Garden Festival, we've just had that. You probably haven't been completely debriefed by the organisers at the moment, but the gut feel?
Look, it just had to happen because of COVID. The May event, of course, got shifted. I don't like to use the word cancelled. It just got rescheduled. And I think for many it was just not appropriate. It was October when people were, it was spring, and particularly for the nursery industry, it's one of the busiest times of the industry. I think a lot of exhibitors found it hard work. I don't think the numbers were there, as Darren and I were saying earlier. But look, I love Langley Park. I love what, you know, was being trying to be done. It lacks, number one, is the landscape component. It was very weak indeed, in fact, almost nothing.
And how do we increase that?
I think that the Liawa, and this is where the hook could be for you to get those extra dollars, is have some involvement with partnering with the nursery industry.
Yeah, or corporate sponsors to be able to sponsor those sorts of gardens, because people do go along looking at wanting to be inspired by something. And I know it's not a Chelsea garden show or anything
but
you still, you know, those show gardens or demonstration gardens are what people probably do come along to look at, as opposed to a set of knives and forks for, you know, not putting anything down. Yeah. But I think you know where I'm coming from there.
I think it's
a destination, then you need something that looks at you. Exactly
just
right.
Say that.
They are. And that's why sponsors are needed.
The whole problem is, and many of the listeners may not realise this, is that you go down there for 4 days and see what's been built. But it might have been built for 3-4 weeks or a couple of weeks. In Chelsea, it can take weeks.
Yeah, years.
And one garden, the Australians one at Chelsea, cost nearly a couple of million. So when we think about what we're trying to do down at the Perth Garden Festival, there has to be some form of corporate sponsorship brought in. Let's say Open Gardens put 10 grand into a garden. And it'd probably be worth your while to do that each year. But the landscapers themselves, you know, some of the big guns that we have in this association just don't see the value in it. They feel they don't pick up work. They don't need the work. I think it's more of a base for an up-and-coming business to actually feature, because it doesn't cost anything for the site. It's just then building it, and you really need to partner with sponsors and all that to make it really financially.
I think the key is it's trying to get a battle between some sponsors who who will put the money up and then allow some of the up-and-coming landscapers or established landscapers to actually be paid to do the job.
Yep.
Sponsors, you know, obviously they're always looking how they can get money back. But, you know, there's some big businesses in town, and I know they're always the same go-to businesses, but, you know, it'll be nice, you know, public relations and things. It's all about the environment. It's all about, you know, well-being and things like that. That's what we're all talking about these days.
I think you've got a great opportunity to go to the nursery industry and say, we want to put a landscape expo built into this, maybe in a couple of years' time, work on it behind the scenes, and then suddenly have a bit of income out of that. And I think bit by bit you could grow the association of that, but you've still got to get the buy-in from your members. gardeners and people who really want to go down. You know, Alessio's gardens. Alessio did a fantastic garden about 3 years ago down there. He nearly killed himself, you know. And it puts you off. This is the whole problem. It puts you off. Yeah. This year, for our display, for Liawa, was done by Danny Marabuta, who did a fantastic job from Instant Gardens and their team. But, you know, it's just a lot of work.
Just
to pull them down in the end, that definitely makes them a killer.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, and we hopefully can keep building our relationship with the Garden Festival and have more and more of an impact on it, and hopefully over the next few years we'll see more display gardens there. Yeah, kids are to build one for me.
In your spare time.
Well, Matthew, I'd like to once again thank you for your efforts as EO over the last few years. I've been massively proud. I've thoroughly enjoyed working alongside you over that period of time. It's been quite a journey and you'll be sorely missed, but hopefully we'll find a replacement very soon.
Yeah, thanks, Darren. I mean, look, the most important thing is everything we've put in place, you build off that. Yep. Don't let it slip because otherwise you'll have a sad past EO sitting in front, you know, coming back going, what have you done, guys? But I know it's...
taught you a lesson, Matt.
So build on what's happened. You've got a good base to go forward and I'm sure the next EO will be able to take you further.
Yes, we've got to go attack the future with a positive outlook. Thank you again for your time tonight. It's been a pleasure to talk to you as always and I'm sure we'll cross paths again in the future. Thanks very much, Matty.
Good stuff, guys.
Thank you very much, Matt.
You've been listening to The Green Thumbs Up, brought to you by the Landscape Industries Association, WA, sponsored by Miniquip Hire.